Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Really excited to tell you about a new series that we're beginning today. A series on the Psalms. Have you ever wanted to study the Psalms? I know that I have, and I'm really interested in where we're going to go with this series. With us today, we have special guest David Renfro, whom Sean and Bob are going to introduce you to in just a moment. Let's go right to today's discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name is Sean Lazar, and I'm here with Bob Wilkin, and we have a guest today.
We do. What's his name?
David Renfro. He's been on the show before. You might remember him as our Old Testament guy.
Oh, he's a friend.
There aren't too many of those out there.
No, there aren't.
Shalom to you, too.
Well, thank you. David is a THM grad from Dallas Seminary in Old Testament. And he's a retired IT nerd, is that right?
That's correct.
But your heart and passion is in Hebrew and the Old Testament.
That is correct. I can't tell you how many people I've heard, graduates of seminary, that the minute they walk off the campus with their degree, they throw away their Hebrew grammar book, never to be seen again.
But not David.
But not me.
No. Not David. You've kept the flame alive. And you've written two commentaries. Well, you've written one on Exodus, and you're working on one on Numbers. And you can find that at thebiblesays.com. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Very good. So you can go to thebiblesays.com and look up Exodus, and that is David's commentary there.
And David's also an interim pastor at a church out in East Texas, and he speaks about once a month at my church, Victor Street Bible Chapel. He's in the rotation there.
Yeah, right. So you guys are homies.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go over the Psalms. We were going to go over the Psalms over the next couple weeks. Is that right, David?
That's correct.
Well, I'm very excited about that because I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like we have a crisis in worship at our churches, our worship songs. It's very hard to find songs with good content. And not a lot of people think about it this way, but the Psalms are kind of like the hymn book of the Bible, aren't they?
They are. They were used in various contexts. In praise for victory over enemies, but also some of them were used in the festivals, the Old Testament festivals.
So, very good. Well, I'm excited about going over the Psalms. So I think in this episode, we're going to introduce this subject. We're going to go look at the Psalms from a bird's eye view. So tell us, what is the Book of Psalms?
It's really a collection of 150 songs, which they all are, most of them have some sort of prayer. They are also praise psalms. And one of the things that I want to get into in this series is the biblical view of what praise means. And like you said just a minute ago, that we've lost what praise really means.
Mm.
And so to go over the words for praise in the book of Psalms is extremely important. We're going to go over a very important one just in the very near future, and it's something that I think we need to get back to. But you're right, we have lost a lot of the what is considered biblical praise.
Well, how did we get this arrangement? I mean, why 1 through 100? Why only 150?
Actually, before we get there, I mean, what is a psalm?
Yeah, okay.
What is that? Why do we call it that?
Well, it's based upon the Hebrew name. Would you like to learn some Hebrew?
Yes, let's do it.
Absolutely. The title for the Book of Psalms in Hebrew is Tehillim.
Tehillim.
That's right. And believe it or not, it's related to our word that we're all familiar with, hallelujah. The Hebrew verb hallel means to praise. It literally means to shout, give out a jubilant cry.
Okay.
And that's what the Book of Psalms is meant to do. It's a praise for deliverance. It's a praise for provision from the Lord. And there's many other things. The other aspect of this is some scholars, 20th century scholars, have put together and done a lot of study on these Psalms and have categorized them into various ways. That's kind of how we're going to do our study. Is each session we're going to take one of these categories, such as praise or lament or hallel psalms, and there's several of these categories. And I found that it's a really good way to study the Book of Psalms. Like, take one psalm out of each category and understand what's going on there. Because if you understand one of those psalms in the category, then you understand that particular form, what's in a lament psalm.
Yeah.
All right, very good. Well, here's another kind of simple question. I'm a simple guy. Who wrote these?
Yeah.
A bunch of people.
A bunch of people. Okay, yeah. Very good.
And, I'm trying to be real particular here.
And over a long period of time.
Right. King David, who was a musician, wrote 73 of the Psalms.
Okay.
But there are other authors. One of them is Asaph. He wrote 12 Psalms. Asaph was essentially the choir director for King David during King David's reign, and then he was choir director in the tabernacle, if you will.
Okay.
And so he wrote a bunch. There's the sons of Korah, wrote a few of them. A lot of them are anonymous. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the psalm will just start, "Praise the Lord." It
right.
doesn't say, "This is a song of David," or something like some of them do.
Right.
And we have no idea. But you're right. We know David. It goes as far back as David, which is 1000 B.C., thereabouts.
Right.
And then Solomon.
Isn't there even one by Moses?
There's one by Moses. There's two by Solomon. And then through my studies, I found one psalm, at least, that refers to the Babylonians, that they are going to be judged. And that kind of says maybe that psalm was written during the 70-year captivity in mm-hmm. Babylon, and that happened in 605 to 539, thereabouts. So
from 1000 B.C., well, if you go to Moses, that's even older.
1400,
let's say,
yeah,
let's
with
say,
Moses.
So up to 600
exactly.
B.C. Interesting. That's a long period of time.
It is, and actually there are some psalms in the Bible that are not in the Book of Psalms, and the classic example is Exodus 15. The crossing of the Red Sea happens in Exodus 14.
Mm-hmm.
And Exodus 15 is, they call it the Song of Moses.
Yes.
And I had to write a paper on
right.
the Song of Moses, which was really difficult because it's very ancient Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to understand all the parts to it. But it is really a psalm in every sense of the word, but it's not in the Book of Psalms. And there's a few others like that as well.
Now, David, what about the superscriptions? At the top, there's a little superscription. Maybe you could read one, Sean, that says something about the time in which the psalm was written.
Sure. Well, Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So
now,
it kind of gives a little bit of context of when he...
Now, who put that in? The author of the psalm didn't put that in, right?
Probably not. Probably what happened is these psalms, like I say, some of them were used in the festival, so everybody memorized them, kind of like some of the contemporary songs we have in churches now. People sing them over and over again, and it becomes a part of them.
Mm-hmm.
And even the old hymns, like, you know, I'm kind of a geezer, mm-hmm. and I know the old hymns, and they become a part of you.
Right.
And that's what happened here, and they just collected. It could be that early on the priest would collect these, and then later on when the priesthood got destroyed, you know, especially with the Babylonian captivity,
mm-hmm.
that the what out of that priesthood came the rabbis in the mm-hmm. between the testaments. They might have collected them and organized them, because there is an organization to these things.
All right, so let's talk about the organization to them. So you mentioned before that there are, did you say there were five sections or what
five
did you
books.
Say?
They call them five books.
Five books, okay.
And there's a lot of theories as to why five books. And one of them is, and once again, this is Jewish rabbis over the centuries, you know, they'll get together and for 6 weeks debate this particular topic,
right.
you know, simply because their cable is out or something. I don't know. And they will debate this. And one of the theories is there are five books of Moses. There's five books in the Torah.
Right.
So that organization was trying to reflect that.
Like just the number five or the themes?
It's not the themes. It's each book does have an emphasis. Like the very last book, most of those are praise psalms. I mean, it's the place where the word hallelujah is used really often.
Right.
It's used all over the Book of Psalms, but it seems to be concentrated in the fifth book.
Hmm.
And that brings up a point. there's a reason why Psalm 1 is Psalm 1.
Yeah, what is that? Why does Psalm 1, which is about this blessed man, you know, who's receiving all these blessings and this prosperity
from
like God.
He's like a tree. He's planted by rivers of water, and he's going to prosper.
In contrast to the ungodly,
right,
who are like chaff in the wind, etc., and the ungodly won't stand in the congregation of the righteous. Why Psalm 1, the first psalm?
Because it's trying to convey to us how we approach the Psalms. We are to walk in the counsel of God, not in the counsel of man. And there are, in fact, we're going to discuss one of these psalms later on that says, do not, it's literal, do not put your trust in man, and specifically rulers.
Mm-hmm.
We would call them politicians.
Right.
And he says, do not put your trust there. Put your trust in the Lord.
Mm.
Yes, he may take you through a very difficult time, but there's a reason.
Mm.
This is not, you know, it's not because of chaos. It's not because people, you know, people have control over this. They need to rely upon the Lord. And that's the reason Psalm 1 is Psalm 1, is that it in effect introduces the whole book of Psalms,
and
all 150.
Some people have even said that the ultimate person that Psalm 1 looks at is Messiah, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of Psalm 1.
That's right.
At least of the blessed man.
What is also interesting, too, and this should not come as a surprise to you New Testament scholars, is the book of Psalms is the most quoted in the New Testament. And way up there, too, is the book of Exodus, which kind of geared me toward studying Exodus, because I realized in the book of Revelation how many times Exodus of pictures and everything was from the book of Exodus. I think Exodus is theology 101 for the New Testament believer.
Well, thanks, David. This is a great introduction to a series on the Psalms, and we're really looking forward to it. And I hope you anticipate greatly what is to come, because we're going to be going through various categories of Psalms and specific Psalms, and I think we'll all be blessed as we do so.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to learn about declarative praise. You don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep grace in focus.